Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Saturday, September 24th, 2016. There's been quite a bit of news in the sequences and such in the Zika world and some other developments in Florida. For this and more, we go to our expert, Dr. Henry Nyman. Dr. Nyman, welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Ryan. It's good to be back. And yeah, I thought we'd do an update on the sequences. There's a little bit more information from the sequences that were already at GeneBank. Some of the data has been updated. I've been in contact with the lab at Scripps that's actually generated those sequences. They've got more sequences coming out shortly, and they've actually got the sequences up on their website. So I went ahead and generated a phylogenetic tree to see how those newer sequences, or those newly sequenced samples anyway, compared to the earlier ones. Just as a review on the earlier sequences, there were three mosquito sequences as well as two cases from Florida. One of those cases, if you recall, was originally still designated as a travel case. It was a Florida resident who had been to Cuba, and the lab at Scripps is the Christian Anderson lab, who actually is doing the sequencing, and Nathan Gubaugh actually is the person doing the sequences, at least for these Florida samples. And they had put on the characterization sheet that this Cuban case may have actually been infected in Florida. And he did give the dates, which would really support that. Traveler returned to Florida on June 5th and then developed symptoms on June 17th. A 12-day gap is a very long gap for Zika as far as developing symptoms. Usually you develop symptoms within a few days or so. So the June 17th disease onset date is a strong indicator that that person was really infected in Florida after they returned from Cuba. The fact that they were a traveler to Cuba, which had local transmission. Cuba is claiming that they really don't have local transmission now, that it was there shortly, and they pretty much got things under control, which would also decrease the likelihood that this traveler really was infected in Cuba. And then the sample was collected on 6/22, which led to the sequence. And again, the collection date of June 22nd also would suggest that the infection was here, because generally with a urine sample, you can detect the viral RNA as long as 2 weeks or so, and it was collected on the 22nd. That would mean that person would have been infected after June 8th, and June 8th he had already returned and was in Florida June 8th or less. So the epidemiology, strongly suggests that this traveler from Cuba actually was infected in Florida, and then the sequence that was released fully supports that. The sequence from this case is very closely related to the other human case, who was from Miami Beach, or at least he was from Miami Beach, based upon how closely related his sequence, or this patient, I don't know the gender, how closely related that patient's sequence was to two of the three sequences that were definitely from mosquitoes on in Miami Beach. So the data, based upon what's at GeneBank, really shows four sequences that are very closely related to mosquito sequences that were from Miami Beach and the two human cases, which I assume were probably also, at least one of them was infected on Miami Beach. The fifth sequence was another mosquito. It was ZM3 for Zika mosquito 3, and that one was a little bit different than the other ones, but it still fell onto the same general branch. And the other known sequences on that branch were two sequences from the Dominican Republic, which really came from a traveler who had traveled to the Dominican Republic from Italy. The group in Italy had actually sequenced the virus and was able to grow the virus. So the two Dominican Republic sequences are both originated from the same traveler. One's directly sequenced from the clinical sample. The other one's sequenced from the virus they were able to grow in the lab. And then the other sequences on this branch was from another traveler who was from England. They isolated the virus from the semen sample. This case was from was sequenced by the public health in England, and is from Guadalupe. Now the new sequences, I was expecting them to represent different introductions from different travelers, and therefore I expected them to be similar to other sequences that were in the Americas, but I really wasn't expecting them to fall on the same branch as the other five. So there are six new sequences that they're finishing up, but they've got the early drafts of those sequences, and I went ahead and put those in the analysis and just, you know, a few words on this. All of these are full sequences. What's being compared is the coding region, which is precisely 10,272 base pairs. So all of these sequences are the same size. And essentially there's software that you just take the sequences and you put them in with all the other sequences that are the Zika Asian strain is what was looked at. And these are other public sequences that are at TeamBank. The software goes ahead and aligns them all with each other, which is relatively easy since they all start and stop at the same place and they're well over 99% identical. And so they're lined up, and then that alignment is then used to generate this phylogenetic tree. And so the phylogenetic tree is fairly big now because there have been quite a few sequences that, you know, came out of Brazil, and other labs are doing additional sequences from other locations in the Caribbean. Some U.S. travelers have been added to the database, and so the database is fairly large now. And in spite of the database being large, all six of these new sequences fell on the same branch as the other five. So that was, for me anyway, that was fairly unexpected. And then the new sequences, I put them up. It's under Florida. It's on a thread that says that Wynwood and Miami Beach cases are linked. And the reason I said that is because several of these newer cases are almost certainly from Wynwood. I mean, the individual sequences are named with one of these ZF numbers, which is Zika Florida, and it also has the collection date. And so all of these six new cases are all local cases from Florida, the lab has done other cases of travelers from Florida, and that they have an X wherever. They've done a couple of sequences from a couple travelers who were infected in Puerto Rico, another one that's been infected in Martinique. And those sequences fall where they're supposed to fall. They basically are closely related to other sequences from Puerto Rico or other sequences from Martinique. But in contrast to those travel sequences, these local sequences all map on the same branch. And that branch actually is getting big now, so the branch can really be divided up. And it turns out that four of the new cases actually look like they're precursors to the cases on Miami Beach. These cases, based upon the collection data, appear to be from Wynwood, or at least, or some of these other local cases that were collected around the time the Wynwood samples were being collected. The earliest precursor actually is the sample that is ZF36. And it was collected on August 4th. The next set is ZF22 collected on July 16th, and ZF30 collected on August 2nd. And then fourth one would be ZF21 collected on July 19th. So the samples that were collected between July 16th to August 4th would likely be cases from Wynwood. That's when samples were being collected from the Wynwood cases, and they ended up being a precursor to these two Schumann cases that were released last week, as well as the two mosquito sequences that were definitely from Miami Beach. Interestingly enough, another one of the sequences is ZF32, which was collected on August 5th, ends up pairing up with the other mosquito sequence. So the other mosquito sequence was most closely related to the sample from Guadalupe, and fell on the upper portion of that branch. And now that human sequence is very closely related to the mosquito case. So that would kind of pair that one up. And then the last one was ZF39, which is the most recent of these newly sequenced samples, so that was on August 17th, and that one is actually falls on the branch that the two Dominican Republic samples are on. So the new samples kind of run the gamut, although four of them really end up being, you know, they look like they're precursors to the cases on Miami Beach. And other cases that at least look like Miami Beach based upon the two mosquito sequences. And then the other two are on the upper portion where it forms new separate branches, and one of which is most closely related to the Dominican Republic, and the other one is most closely related to the other mosquito sequence, which most closely related to the Guadalupe sequence. So that's really the summary. And so there's two ways to kind of explain this data. One is that there have been multiple introductions, but at least on the samples that have been sequenced so far, those introductions seem to be related to sequences in the Caribbean. And, you know, based upon geography, that wouldn't be that big of a surprise. And that could explain the data as just with a small relatively small number of samples, although this is a large number of samples for one city, you know, or at least one county. But they're all kind of showing up on the same branch in the phylogenetic tree. And then the other interpretation would be that the virus came quite a bit prior to June 22nd, and in fact has been in Florida for a while now. And as a result, the virus that came earlier is really spread out and is now showing up in Wynwood, followed by Miami Beach, although it's conceivable that you know, somebody in Wynwood basically brought the virus to Miami Beach, although it would take a couple of people because, like I say, there's three mosquito sequences and two fall on the lower branch and one falls on the upper branch. And so they wouldn't have, those three would not have come from the same person. If they were, you know, if they did, it was a while ago. They wouldn't have diverged that much in, you know, a couple of weeks between when samples were collected at one location or the other, even within a couple of months, it would have that type of divergence. So it's unclear if all of the samples on the same branch are due to an earlier introduction that was fairly widespread and had been in mosquitoes in Florida for, you know, many months, or conceivably even a year, and or if they just happen to be people from the Caribbean, and there's been multiple introductions, but this one version stands out. That seems to be unlikely, mainly because of how many sequences are on the tree. I mean, the tree is pretty big, and to get all of them clustered on their own branch, that you know, prior to these sequences, there were really only two cases on this branch. So it's the Dominican Republic and the Guadalupe cases, and now all of a sudden there's 11 new sequences, and all 11 sequences fall on that same branch. And so, you know, look forward to getting more sequences. I think some are supposed to be released next week, including, I believe, the sequences from the other two batches of mosquitoes that have been positive on Miami Beach, number 4 and number 5. I know that they're, you know, working with the Florida Department of Health as well as the University of Florida. And they're also working with the Florida Gulf Coast University on the mosquito side. And they're working on getting these sequenced and getting a better idea on exactly what is going on with Florida, at least as far as introductions and the timing of those introductions. And, you know, unfortunately, it'll probably take significantly more samples, but there are new cases that are being announced virtually daily now. And and there are more exports. You know, just as a quick update, their Department of Health is now reporting cases that were identified in travelers who have been in Florida or in Miami. And just a couple of days ago, there was another case in Texas that was in Tarrant County, which is where Fort Worth is in Texas. And that follows one of the other cases from Miami, which was in El Paso, which is in El Paso County also. And so now there have been at least two cases in Texas of residents of Texas who had gone to Miami and got infected and developed symptoms as soon as they got back and were Zika confirmed. There may be two cases in New York, it's a little bit unclear. The original group of five included one that was in New York, and me described a person from New York who was working in Florida who was positive, and that result was sent back to New York. And that's where it was reported. And it's not clear if that person and the person described as one of the first five in Miami Beach are, in fact, the same person or whether there's two people in New York. The tally is up to 10 now. And 10 exports to other states or other countries. There was one of the other early cases was New Taipei City in Taiwan. And both the Taiwan case and the El Paso case were, in fact, announced prior to the Miami Beach cases announced. And so when an area starts exporting cases, especially when they've exported 10 cases now, that indicates there is a lot of activity locally because the visitors, the travelers, are just there for a short time period. And if 10 travelers were infected for a short time period, there'd be a lot more local people that would be in the same area as the travelers, and they would be there for a significant amount of time before and after the traveler came and went. And that's an indication that there is quite a bit of activity. So Wynwood was ban on Wynwood was actually lifted this week based upon going 45 days without a case, although they gave the summary of the samples tested, and the total number of samples tested is not that different than the total number of samples.
Yeah, Dr. Nyman, about the metrics, like some of the metrics have been brought back. So I don't know if you could talk a little more about the metrics being brought back and the whole situation around that.
Yeah, there was a all the metrics got pulled on September 1st, and at the time, the data being reported was a little bit suspect. It was suspect because some of the active investigations had no samples collected. Two of them had zero samples. One had three samples. One had six samples. And all four of those were static until they shut things down. And so they gave the impression, based upon what was being reported, that a lot of these investigations were active in name only, that they collected a few samples and they weren't being very aggressive about it. And then there was another set of samples that were listed as being pending. And the pending samples, they put a little asterisk up and said that the pending samples were waiting confirmation from the CDC. Now, samples waiting confirmation are samples that were positive. So these are samples that were antibody positive locally, and they were just waiting for CDC to confirm that they weren't positive due to cross-reactivity with something like dengue or chikungunya, and both of which would be rather unlikely because, A, there's no dengue or chikungunya outbreaks in Florida at this time, and B, because these cases that were positive for Zika antibodies were linked to confirmed cases. So it would be expected that they would get confirmed before they pulled all the metrics. There were two in one investigation that got converted to negative, and then there were five out of six samples collected in another investigation that were deemed to be negative. And it's really still unclear as to why they weren't confirmed by the CDC. The circumstances would strongly suggest that, A, these were contacts of a known case. B, since they did an antibody test, they almost certainly were symptomatic. And C, they were positive in Florida. So you really had three pieces of evidence that these were actually Zika cases and that they actually represented Zika clusters, because their positive results would be in addition to the confirmed case that was cited to open the investigation. And one of those five out of the six samples, so it wasn't just one or two samples. It was they had the case, they collected six samples, one was negative and five were positive. And so how they would get five positives linked to a known positive and end up having all five of those positives being deemed negative by the CDC is, it's at a minimum, would be unexpected, you know, and it remains unclear. I did email them and ask for an explanation, which was a month ago, and, you know, I haven't really gotten any explanation, any response back. So they pulled all the metrics. Actually, they pulled all the metrics shortly after I sent the email. So those came back a couple of days ago. And in the interim, a lot of the active investigations were deemed closed. And so these closed investigations, it's not really clear how many samples were collected and tested. And the new data that's back is better than not having any data, but now the data is all aggregated. So they basically say how many samples were collected in Miami-Dade. And you know, that creates difficulties in with understanding how aggressively these samples are being tested in the various investigations. And so there's more investigations closed than there are open now. And a lot of those investigations that got closed were closed in this period between September 1st. And even September 1st was really August 29th data, the 2 days before they pulled all the data. They didn't do any updates. And although the active investigation page was cited in the press release to go there for more details, and the updating stopped for 2 days, and then all the data was pulled. So it's still a little bit questionable as to how active some of these active investigations were in Wynwood. They did put the Wynwood data up, and the number of samples collected was almost the same. It was actually two higher than the number of samples that had been collected way back when they started the active investigation tables. And so there was a lot of samples collected early on, and they led to the positives that kind of trickled in, and some of those positives were the same as the ones that ended up being negative for the others, that they were listed as pending for about 10 days, and then they were announced, and as part of the announcement, they said, well, these were cases that were confirmed by the CDC, and these were cases that were symptomatic, that they were antibody positive, but they didn't report those as positive cases until they got the confirmation from the CDC. So the description of the Wynwood cases that were pending and then became positive was very similar to the other cases that were pending and then became negative. And again, the positive confirmation is what would have been expected based on the circumstances. And so it's still a little bit of a mystery as to those earlier ones as far as attending. So there are new tables. I really haven't analyzed those tables yet. They just came up a couple of days ago. I'll see how quickly those numbers are going up and how active these active investigations are. But there is a concern that there are more, you know, significantly more cases than are being detected, in part because 80% of the cases are are asymptomatic, so unless there was an active investigation, those people wouldn't be tested. And then many people just have flu-like symptoms and they're not pregnant or a partner of somebody who is or is trying to become pregnant. The incentive for actually getting a test isn't that high. And so many people will just, self-medicate for a few days and it's a self-limiting disease, and they recover and never get tested. And so the number of cases is unclear, and the sequence data has raised a red flag, just because all 11 of these cases in Miami all fall under the same branch, and there is enough diversity in that branch to indicate that they didn't all get infected, one infected the other, that there is some diversity indicating that if they all came from one person, they came from one person a while ago, because they've spread out on that branch. But the fact that they're all on that branch, and that branch is fairly distinctive, is a bit of a concern and highlights the need for additional sequences to get a better handle as to whether this is falling on the same branch, because there aren't really enough samples to get a better sense as to what's going on. If these are all relatively new local cases due to recently infected mosquitoes, then you would expect to see more diversity. You would expect to see some of these cases matching some of the other countries. Like I said, there's some travel cases from Puerto Rico and travel cases from Martinique, and they look like other travelers reported by other labs from Puerto Rico or Martinique, and so they fall on other branches, and those other branches have other samples from that country. So, as I said, the tree is relatively large now, and they have all of these branches that are on it that have clusters of cases, and it's the branch that Florida is on, it looks like a Florida branch, and it's relatively diverse, and so it would be a Florida branch that is due to infections more than a few weeks or even a few months ago. So that kind of wraps things up. It's the cases continue to accumulate. I'm still a little bit surprised that no other state has reported any local transmission. Texas would be, a state that they have about 250 cases, and they do have 80 aegypti there. And it's a concern that if the lack of local cases is really due to a lack of testing of local cases, and that most of the testing is really done from travelers, including travelers from Florida now. So people that have symptoms that return from Florida do warrant enough attention to get tested, and at least two cases in Texas fall into that category, as did the one in Taiwan, and I'm not sure how many in New York. So the 10 travelers indicates there's still a lot of activity in Miami Beach, and actually, Miami Beach has expanded now, so most of Miami Beach is both the middle and south beach that are now in the travel warning. They've merged, and it was 1.5 square miles, now it's 4.5 square miles. But Wynwood's been designated clear, although the lack of cases is largely linked to the lack of testing. And that kind of wraps things up for right now.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Nyman. Everybody, visit our website at recombinomics.co for all the latest news and information. Thank you.